Madhava Kunjavihari. Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari. Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari. Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari. Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari.
Jaya Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Prabhuvajakacharya Shotashate is the Vangu Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jaya Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Prabhuvajakacharya Ashotashate Sri Sriman Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Prem Seko Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki. Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki. Sri Mayapur Dham Ki. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki. Nusevikunj Dham Ki. Ganga Mai Ki, Yamuna Mai Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Tulsi Devi Ki, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki, Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Ganantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Narayanam namaskritya narocheram narot narum cheva narotamam devim sarsvatim vyasam taito jayam mudirajet nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavate utama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Today we will be reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 8th canto, the 20th verse, the 20th chapter, titled Bali Maharaj Surrenders the Universe. And we'll be reading verse number 22. If this is the wrong meter, just let me know. Kaye balastasya mahavibhutehe sahart vig acharya sarasya etat Tadarsha Vishvam Trigunam Guntamek Bhutendriya Tarsya Jiva Yuktam Kaye Balistasya Mahavibhutehe Sahar Vigacharya Sarasya Etat Tadarsha Vishvam Trigunam Gunatmake Bhutendriya Tars Artashya Jiva Yuktam Kaye Balastasya Mahavibhute Sahart Vigacharya Sarasya Etat Tadarsha Vishvam Trigunam Gunatmake Bhutendriya Tarsya Jiva Yuktam Please chant. Kaye, in the body. Bali, Maharaj Bali. Tasya, of the personality of Godhead. Mahavibhutehe, of that person who is equipped with all wonderful opulences. Saha Ritvik. Oh, sorry. Saha Ritvik Acharya Sarasyaha. With all the priests, acharyas, and members of the Holy Assembly. Etat. This. Tadarsha. Sa. Vishvam. The whole universe. Tri Gunam. Made of the three modes of material nature. Guna Atmake. In that which is the source of all such qualities. Bhuta. With all the gross material elements. Indriya. With the senses. Artha. With the sense objects. Ashya. With mind, intelligence, and false ego. Jiva Yuktam. With all the living entities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Bali Maharaj, along with all the priests, acharyas, and members of the assembly, observed the Supreme Personality of Godhead's universal body, which was full of six opulences. That body contained everything within the universe, including all the gross material elements, the senses, the sense objects, the mind, intelligence, and false ego, the various kinds of living entities, and the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata savarm pavartate. Krishna is the origin of everything. Vasudeva sarvam iti. Krishna is everything. Mat stani sarvabhutani na chaham tesvu avastitaha. Everything rests in the body of the Lord, yet the Lord is not everywhere. Mayavadi philosophers think that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, has become everything, He has no separate existence. Their philosophy is called Advaita Vada. Actually, however, their philosophy is not correct. Here, Bali Maharaj was the seer of the Personality of Godhead's universal body, and that body was that which was seen. Thus, there is Dvaita Vada. There are always two entities, the seer and the seen. The seer is a part of the whole, but he is not equal to the whole. The part of the whole, the seer, is also one with the whole, but since he is but a part, he cannot be the complete whole at any time. This achintya beda adbeda, simultaneous oneness and difference, is the perfect philosophy propounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Agyana Timyandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Snapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yukta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganar Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindan Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Prananami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you very much for attending today's Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today is Tuesday. Also, the lecture is supposed to be given by Nityananda Pranprabhu, but he is unable to be here, so I am the replacement in his absence, and I'm requesting your kindness and blessings upon me so that I may be able to speak something for my own purification, but also something that maybe we can all relate to, and that we can all take one step closer to Krishna in our devotional service through whatever I'm able to speak. And it's in line with the parampara. Nice. So, that being said, we're continuing on with Bali Maharaj and Lord Vamanadeva, who has revealed his universal form in front of everyone. And this here, it's you can hear it's in the previous verse. His size, he began increasing, and he's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and everything is becoming in his body. And in this verse, everyone in the assembly, including the demons, can also see this Supreme Personality of God, its universal form, which is a testament to how qualified these living entities were. Because we see in the Bhagavad Gita that when Krishna reveals his universal form to Arjuna, not everyone could see the universal form, but it was only Arjuna could see it. Some demigods could see it too, but Arjuna could only see it, and everyone else could not see it, and they couldn't understand what was going on. But in here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see that all the priests, acharyas, members of the assembly, they observed this universal body full of six opulences. It contained everything, all the material elements and everything. So, it brings up an interesting point, that this, Srila Prabhupada talks about this in the purport, that there's this philosophy called Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, which is the philosophy that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu propounded. He came and he was preaching this Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, which had not been previously preached at all by any of the previous acharyas. Everyone had, in different lines, Buddha and Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, everyone has a different teaching that they're teaching. And Lord Chaitanya is taking this philosophy that seems to synthesize the differences between all the understandings. That there's a simultaneous oneness and difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his energies and the living entities. So, I wanted to ask, does anyone know what achintya means? Inconceivable. And what is an inconceivable? What is inconceivable? Do you know the definition of inconceivable? Or what does inconceivable mean? Cannot be conceived. Infinite. Beyond comprehension. So yeah, this is right. It's beyond comprehension. The Webster's Dictionary defines it as impossible to understand. So we've come to sort of a fork in the road. We're learning philosophy, and that this is the absolute truth, yet it's impossible to understand. So it seems a little bit, how do you go about it? If this is the absolute truth, how do you go about understanding this inconceivable, impossible to understand philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference? So we can understand it from simply, and we can understand it simply, and there's a simple process. And the simple understanding is that Krishna has three energies. The external energy, which is the inferior, dull matter, not animate matter. Then you have the marginal energy, which is the living entity, and the superior energy, which is the spiritual potency, or the devotional energy, the superior energy of the Supreme Lord. And everything that we see in existence is a combination of these energies. But the living entity, he himself, is situated in between the two margins. So If anyone has ever looked at a piece of paper, there's like a lined piece of paper, there's one line, one red line, it says the margin. So that margin is supposed to separate the two ends of the paper. In a piece of paper, it's more toward one side, but ideally a margin is there's two margins and then you're right in the middle. When you sit on a boat, you know, you're supposed to sit right in the middle, in the margin between the two ends. Which means that the living entity has the ability to be controlled by one side or the other. So, in conditioned life, the living entity will be controlled by the material energy. As Mother Krishnacharya was explaining the other day in class, that the living entity will either be controlled by the material energy, or the other option is you're controlled by the superior energy. There's no gray line in the middle. It's one or the other. So, the Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva explains that this living entity is one in quality, but not one in quantity. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Madhya Lila, chapter 20, verse 108, Jivara Swarup Haya Krishna Nitya Das, Krishnera Tatasya Shakti Beda Abeda Paksha Gasha. Which is the living entity's constitutional position. It is the living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna, because he is the marginal energy of Krishna and a manifestation simultaneously one with and different from the Lord, like a molecular particle of sunshine or fire. Krishna has three varieties of energy. So this example that is being used here is a molecular particle of sunshine or fire. So the sun is coming through the room now. So the sunshine particles are coming through the room and heating the room. So these particles are non-different than the sun itself because it's emanating from the sun. It's of the same composure. It's composed of the same things as the sun. But yet, at the same time, they're very minute particles of sunshine. And if there was too much, we'd burn up. And the sun is the qualitative whole, and the sunshine is the part and parcels. So this is one example to describe this inconceivable understanding of one in quality and one and different in quantity. But just because these particles are coming from the supreme whole, does that mean that the whole is incomplete in itself? And trying to explain this, His Grace Janitai Guru Hari Prabhu explained that when we were going over the Sri Ishupanishad mantra, the invocation, that one misunderstanding would be that if you took a slice of pizza, you know, you have a pizza and you cut a slice of pizza, if you take that piece of pizza away, you don't have a complete pizza. It's broken up. You have a fragmented particle of pizza. But this is not true. The first invocation of the Sri Ishupanishad says, Om Purnam Adam Purnam Idam, Purnat Purnam Udachate, Purnasya Purnam Adaya, Purnam Eva Vashishyate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. And because He is completely perfect, all emanations from Him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because He is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from Him, He remains the complete balance. So this is describing the absolute nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That whatever is emanating from an absolute point is non-different. Doesn't change its constitutional value. And I understand this from like a sixth grade math class that we covered absolute values. That, you know, you have negative 2 and 2. The absolute value of both those numbers is both 2. It's 2 away from 0. So this absolute, doesn't matter how far away that you go, negative or positive, they both have the same value. The absolute value is 2. So just because these spiritual sparks are emanating from the Supreme Personality of God, it doesn't mean that then the Supreme Personality of God is then incomplete. He's missing something. Something is missing from, you know, missing from Him. And when I was in college, I took a world religions class. Excuse me. I took a world religions class in college, which, to be honest, I failed the first time. And then the second time I took it, I almost failed again. I barely passed. A testament to my thirst for knowledge and, you know, deeper subject matters. But it was a blessing. It was a blessing. Because the teacher, who I was very captivated with at first, was very enthusiastic and really tried to hammer home these points. When he covered Hinduism, he was propounding this philosophy. He taught Hinduism that there's this original figure, form of the Absolute. And the Absolute has disembodied himself so that others may come into creation. So he's taken apart his arms and his legs and his head, and he's thrown them in different parts of the universe, and there it completes the whole. That's how everything is made up of in Hinduism. And I was very confused by this, and but I had written it down, and just recently I had gone back, you know, maybe like a year ago, I had gone back to my mom's house where I had my college notes, and I was thumbing through it, and I saw the World Religions book. Wow, great. So I opened it up, and I was flipping through it, and it came to three names. I had written only one page of notes. I had some other notes, but I had one page on this topic. And the topic, I had the three names of Shiva, the destroyer. Then I wrote Brahma, the creator, or Lord Shiva, the annihilator. And three, Vishnu, the maintainer. And then right below it, I had Krishna. And I wrote next to it, the flute god. So that was the only understanding that was given about Krishna, was that he's the flute god. He plays the flute. Nothing else. But I was pretty confused about this whole idea, what this creation meant. So luckily, Krishna inspired me to completely lose interest in the class. And I finally lost interest when I failed the Judaism exam, which is the religion I was brought up in. And when I failed that, I said, okay, I'm out of here. This doesn't make any sense. I can't understand anything, not even my own tradition. So this is a misconception of the Supreme Absolute Truth, that Krishna is able to, or the Supreme Whole, disembody himself, and he doesn't become complete. He's separated from himself. It's a misconception. And understandably so, because as we read in the introduction or the preface of the Bhagavad Gita, that Srila Prabhupada is specifically, he's bringing this Bhagavad Gita into existence because there's misconceptions from hundreds of years. You know, there's so many copies of the Bhagavad Gita and people are misunderstanding it. And how we know that they're misunderstanding it is that the purport of the Bhagavad Gita, which is that one should become a devotee of Krishna, it had no potency. People weren't becoming devotees of Krishna, but people were, they liked the philosophy and everything, and they could understand, you know, they understood something, but they weren't, there wasn't a transformation of heart. And we can see in Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, it's transforming people's hearts all over the world, regardless of country, regardless of faith, people are very attracted to it. So the message is very pure and potent. But in the Bhagavad Gita, there may be seemingly contradictions. Does anyone know of a apparent contradiction in the Bhagavad Gita, or where it is, why some people might be confused about Krishna says one thing and then he says another thing? Does anyone know of an example of something that Krishna says? He says, it's like this, but it also not like this. It's like this, but it's not like this. Bhakti Marceau. Yes. Yes, this is an example of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. But does anyone know of an example of where the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva is touched upon by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita? 10th chapter. Yes. Yes. Very nice, Giridhari Prabhu. This is the ninth ninth chapter, verses 4, 5, and 6, touch upon this Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. The translations of these verses are, this is Krishna speaking to Arjuna, in the most confidential chapter, the ninth chapter. By me, in my unmanifested form, the entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not a part of this cosmic manifestation. For myself is the very source of creation. Understand that as the mighty wind blowing everywhere rests always in the sky, all created beings rest in me. So first, all created beings are in me, but I'm not in them. So this is it can be a seeming misunderstanding. But what do you mean, Krishna? You just said that all the beings are inside of you, and then the next thing that comes out is you're not in them. And the philosophy that can help us to understand this is the Chintabheda Bheda Tattva, this inconceivable oneness indifference. And Krishna even says the hidden understanding of how to understand this is within the verse, which says, "Behold my mystic opulence." So he's hinting at this mystic opulence. It's a inconceivable potency, and this is how it's happening. And people may have understandably so, it may be difficult to understand, because it turns out that the souls in this world are conditioned. So what does it mean to be a conditioned soul in this material world, trying to understand the Bhagavad Gita, which is my position? I don't really understand the Bhagavad Gita a whole lot, and I was trying to figure out why it is that I'm having such a hard time understanding the Bhagavad Gita. And it's because I have a lot of misconceptions about what God is, what my reality is, and everything. And Srila Prabhupada is giving this Bhagavad Gita to dispel the misconceptions that people have in the world. And one misconception that I have is that I used to think that Santa Claus was real. Santa Claus is supposed to be a very happy, jolly guy. But for a long time, for like 10, 15 years of my life, I thought that Santa Claus was real. That he comes down the chimney and he's watching my every move. He's omniscient of all my actions. He knows when I'm being good. He knows when I'm being bad. He's watching me. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He's super soul. He's sitting next to me watching. He knows everything. So I mistaked Santa Claus for super soul. This is a misconception, and it was I was holding on to it as my conception. So like this, people have misconceptions, and that's just one level. There's a whole range of them. Today is also Valentine's Day. February 14th, Valentine's Day. And does anyone know the origin of Valentine's Day? Where it comes from? Or what it means? Yeah, Marcel? Purple? A massacre? It's, what I read, it may be a massacre, but there was some saints, and somehow or other, these two saints called Saint Francis were put to death. They were tortured and put to death. And it wasn't until like the 18th, hundreds of years later, that it became sort of commercialized, that it began, it would be associated with love and chocolates and giving gifts and cards. And so now you can see Valentine's Day is nothing. It has, no one even understands who, it doesn't, they don't know where it's coming from, but it's become a whole hallmark thing. There's a misconception about what Valentine's Day is, and now people are skewing it to have some nice relationships and buy chocolate and wine and go to a steakhouse. And anyway, I also had a misconception about Valentine's Day, that I thought it was, you're supposed to put your heart into it. So as a living entity, I thought, Valentine's Day, yeah, this would be great, it's fantastic. And this was a sophomore in college. I had a girlfriend, and I thought that Valentine's Day, I had an understanding of what Valentine's Day meant, but it was my own understanding of what Valentine's Day should mean. So I saw what people were doing for Valentine's Day, and I put my own understanding of Valentine's Day. Okay, well, then if it's like this, you should, you know, express your love to someone and show your appreciation. So you should, I should do all these things. So with this understanding of Valentine's Day, that I should try to show my, express my love, I went on a date and I went to a restaurant and everything with a girlfriend that I had, and I made all these different arrangements so that I could, you know, it would be a very nice arrangement and, she would be happy and things like that. And then what happened a few weeks later was that we ended up breaking up, and a piece of my heart was ripped out of my chest in front of me, and I was left just hanging there. There's during Nityananda Prabhu's guru seminar, he talks about the fish, and the people are cheating the fish by putting a worm on the hook. So you think you're getting the worm, but you're actually getting the hook. So the fish goes to bite the worm. Oh, tasty worm. Oh, wow. And when you bite down, you actually get a hook through your mouth. And then you get ripped out of the water. So in the same way, this piece, this hook was, I went for the misconception of happiness, that there's going to be happy and pleasure here. And I bit down and rip. This thing was ripped out. So this is an example of one of the four defects of the conditioned soul. Does anyone know the four defects of a conditioned soul? Yes. There's one I always forget. Yeah, you said it. It's the prone to forgetfulness. This is, yes, you're right. Sorry, I tried to make a bad joke, but you're right. The four defects of the conditioned soul are these. They're prone to illusion, they cheat others, and they can be cheated. They have limited senses, and they're prone to forget. So with these, you have an inability to understand the whole picture, because you yourself don't have the right software. It's not, there's defects in your programming, so therefore you can't put all the pieces of the puzzle together yourself, because you're crippled yourself. So how can you understand the whole thing if you're crippled? So the biggest misconception that we have is that we think we're our bodies. And when we think that we are our bodies, those misconceptions or conceptions about reality, they guide our actions. So whatever our conceptions about reality are, they guide our actions within the world. So we can see this whole world is running on the platform of I am this body. So all the activities are in relation to the body. But Lord Chaitanya's Achintya Bheda Tattva is bringing us to a higher platform of understanding reality. And in that same purport to the Madhya Lila verse, the Jivera Swarup Haya Krishna Nitya Das, Krishna Tastya Shakti Beda Adbeda Prakashya. The purport by Srila Prabhupada, I'll read it as follows, because it explains, it's a perfect synthesis of, to be able to reconcile our misunderstandings of the Bhagavad Gita. It says, purport, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains these verses as follows. And this verse is saying that the living entity is the constitutional position of, its constitutional position is the eternal servant of Krishna. It's the marginal energy, and it's simultaneously one and different from Krishna, like a molecular particle of sunshine or fire. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains these verses as follows. Srila Sanatana Goswami asked Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Who am I?" In the answer, the Lord replied, "You are a pure living entity. You are neither the gross material body nor the subtle body composed of mind and intelligence. Actually, you are a spirit soul, eternally part and parcel of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Therefore, you are his eternal servant. You belong to Krishna's marginal potency. There are two worlds, the spiritual world and the material world, and you are situated between the material and the spiritual potencies. You have a relationship with both the material and the spiritual world, therefore you are called the marginal potency. You are related with Krishna as one and simultaneously different. Because you are spirit soul, you are one in quality with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because you are a very minute particle of spirit soul, you are different from the Supreme Soul. Therefore, your position is simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Soul. The examples given are those of the sun itself and small particles of sunshine, and of a blazing fire and the small particles of fire. Lord Chaitanya sums it up like perfectly and super simply. He's explaining the entire relationship. I mean, no, it's clear. He's giving it to you on a silver platter. You don't have to endeavor for anything. Here it is. Take it and take the benefit from it. But unfortunately, because of these conditionings and all these impressions in our mind from things we've seen on TV, what our parents have said, what our friends have said, we have a polluted or contaminated, perverted understanding of what reality is. And because of this, it makes it very difficult to actually accept what is being given to us very mercifully and on a golden platter. It's the understanding is clear. Srila Prabhupada is giving and understanding the Bhagavad Gita as it is and take it. So if we are of the understanding that this is the correct understanding of reality, and we have misconceptions of reality, what is the process in which we can go from our misconceptions to the proper conception? Because that would be an important understanding of how we can transition from one conception to the next conception, to the proper conception. And the first thing that we can do is hear. Just by hearing the purports of Srila Prabhupada and reading his books and hearing from advanced devotees, we can align our conceptions from where they are to where they should be, that are in line with the parampara, that are in line with the scriptures, that are in line with the Krishna conscious sadhus. And the next thing we can do is we associate with pure devotees or a spiritual master who can guide us in having the correct understanding. And also, the most important thing that we can do is engaged in Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which we sing every day in the morning. Cheto Darpana Marjanam Baba Mahadavagni Nirvapanam Shreya Kavira Chandrika Vitarnam Vidya Vadu Jivanam Anamnam Budi Vardanam Prati Padam Purnamisna Svaranam Sarvatmam Snapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So, by engaging in this Sri Krishna Sankirtan, whether it be Harinam, congregational chanting, we can chant the holy names of Krishna by ourselves in japa, or we can congregational chant the holy names in Sankirtan, San, together, Kirtan, chanting. We chant together, or we can go out on book distribution, prasadam distribution. There's so many different ways in which we can engage in Sankirtan. And just by preaching the glories of Krishna and sharing it with others, we increase our ability to receive. And during that process of giving and sharing and glorifying, we're cleansing our hearts, we're cleansing our minds so that we're able to properly receive. And without cleansing our hearts, these misunderstandings will be colored with previous understandings which may not be compatible. For example, sometimes I go down to the Prasadam Hall and I take a plate, and sometimes it wasn't cleaned off properly, and there might be some remnants of the devotees from the previous day or previous meal. So that flavor from the last understanding was may color the new prasadam. I may have another flavor in there. So what you do, you clean it off so that you can have a pure plate of prasadam. The remnants of the devotees may make it even more potent, but it's important to clean off everything so that we can have a proper, clear understanding of everything. So that's our process. We are engaged in cleansing our hearts and cleansing our minds so that we become proper receptacles to receive this understanding, which we cannot do by our own endeavor. Our own intelligence cannot penetrate the inconceivable and unlimited glories of the Supreme Lord. It's impossible. You're this tiny, minute, little living being, you know, with a brain, how big? You know, this big? And we're trying to understand something that is inconceivable, that's impossible to understand, especially being covered up by the material elements, which Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, that it's the material energy is a divine nature, and therefore it's very difficult to overcome. But one can overcome it by surrendering unto Him. So the ways in which we can come to these understandings, the proper conceptions, is that we engage in gradually surrendering ourselves to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, who will give us access to this proper understanding. So, are there any comments or questions about any of these topics?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for talking about this subject from many different angles, so it allows one to examine it from different perspectives. I very much appreciate that. One reflection I had was from what you were saying about our own limited intelligence. In that example you gave from your religion class about the Lord, the misconception that the Lord separates His body and... The reflection I had is that when one's approaching through mental speculation who is God or what is God, then because we are only familiar with material conceptions, we simply apply those to God. So generally we think that if something is taken from something, from our material conception, because that's what we're familiar with, then that thing which it is taken from is at a loss. Like if you take a slice of pizza, which is part and parcel of pizza, then what remains is not a whole pizza. It's a very rational conception. And it's true in the material context. But one thing that Prabhupada says is actually the philosophy is a very common sense philosophy. So on one hand, Krishna is inconceivable. But on the other hand, we do have 30 volumes of philosophy explaining who is Krishna. So we can understand through a common sense thing is that this is what makes God God, is that He is beyond these material laws. That something can manifest from Him and He remains complete. And that when He enters into the material world, He is untouched by it. And just one, if I may, there's a metaphor in Srimad Bhagavatam. In Vrindavan, after some rain in the springtime, there's what's called a bow in the sky. It's called Indra's bow. So Indra's attributed to like lightning and rain and things. And that bow is a rainbow. And that rainbow is a metaphor for Krishna. And that when the rainbow appears in the material world, it's not, when that bow, it's not strung on a string. So for us, the conception of a material bow is there's a string that's holding it in its form. So it's dependent on the material elements for that form to exist. Whereas Krishna, when He comes, He's independent of any material condition. So that bow is in shape, but it's independent of some material requirement. So I just thought I would mention that. Just a nice metaphor. Hare Krishna.
Krishna. Thank you for that. It's a very nice point. Thank you for bringing it up. I think I forgot my understanding of this, how Krishna can be simultaneously one and different from him and his energies, is that he himself is he's a person. And everything is, there's Krishna and Krishnas. So there's Krishna and then there's Krishna's energies. Krishna's energies are although they're emanating from him, they're different than the actual person. They're from him. So they're not different in one sense because they're from him. But he himself is aloof from these three energies. Whereas he's aloof, his energies are...
Can I say one other thing? Another thing that came to mind is, you were talking about your experiences with, you know, when you act on certain conceptions you have.
Yeah.
And with this philosophy, we're receiving it, it's a descending, we're receiving it from higher authority. So we're receiving truth, and we're seeing how to apply that truth in our life. So we're getting absolute truth directly, and we're on the platform of applying it so that we can cultivate that in our life. Whereas the other process, the ascending process, is it's an inductive thing where you have this much intelligence and this much understanding, and you're trying to create something from that. And so naturally, like you said, it will be tinged with your previous conditioning. And one example of a previous philosophy is this voidism philosophy. So we'll see that the material world is suffering. So my idea of liberation is the absence of suffering. So if the material world is suffering, and my idea of liberation is the absence of suffering, one's idea is this success is just being aloof from the material world, right? But then there's no conception of what is outside the material concept. So then it's a void. So there's no access to that based on one's own mental speculation. So by saying that it's a void, you're actually saying that it's something, it's a void. But you're not admitting actually that void is an unknown. See, the honest truth is, I know the material world, and I don't know the spiritual world. So since it's unknown to me, I, by my own intelligence, will say it's a void. Anything that's not material is a void. But that's actually to admit that that is a missing variable, right? Hare Krishna.
Sure. Very nice. Thank you. Back to Marcel Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, Prabhu, I'm quite bewildered.
Makes two of us.
Can you explain in more detail how Krishna is everything? Yeah, Krishna is not here. It's confusing.
Can I take a crack at it? Can I take a crack at it?
So, I was just thinking about it. I was going to comment that the only way to fully understand that principle is that you become Krishna conscious. I mean, we have the theoretical concept that Krishna is simultaneously one and different. That verse that you quoted from the 9th chapter, that although he is in all the living entities, that simultaneously he is not in them. So it's a principle that applies throughout everything. Everything, if we're able to actually realize that principle, then we're Krishna conscious. And it's the only position of balance that you're able to have being able to see everything as Krishna's energy and actually non-different than Krishna, but at the same time, you know, like we're right now in the temple room, and this is an extension, this temple is an extension of Krishna. So a Krishna conscious person, like Prabhupada said, he sees Krishna everywhere, is able to have that experience, that it's of simultaneously ones and different. We're not, because we're affected by still the material conception, which is duality. The material conception is the world of dualities. You know, happiness is stress, good and bad, etc., etc. And it's an impossibility for a person who is materially conditioned to be able to put these things together, to be able to have a balance on that. And the fact is that we have to come to that position of balance, you know, that there is harmony, there's no conflict. The only capacity that we have to have a position of there's no conflict, there's only harmony, there's only, you know, everything is resolved, like that thing, Krishna is everything but he's not here, that's resolved by the proper conception of Krishna consciousness. Because the fact is that same principle, Krishna is there standing as a deity, you know, Krishna is within your heart, so you know, with Krishna is within the atom, it requires to actually become Krishna conscious to be able to fully realize that. That's the best I can do on that.
Yes, in support of that, there's like Krishna and Krishnas. So there's Krishna, and then he's simultaneously inside, you know, he's in his three energies. There's we understand that the external energy is also, it's also an energy of Krishna. So it is also Krishna. For example, this wood is also made of the external energy of Krishna. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. This is also an energy of Krishna. Or at least this is how I understand it. This is also energy of Krishna. So Krishna is there within the atom, like you said. There within the atom. When we don't see it in relation to Krishna, then it's Maya. Or illusion, which is supported in the second canto, ninth chapter. It's Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says that in verses 33 through 36, he's speaking to Lord Brahma, that, O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Nor does my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. He even goes on to say, he gives the, he explains the inconceivableness. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created and at the same time I am outside of everything. I have no idea. I have no idea. Sorry. Srila Prabhupada Ki.